The greatest earthly tribulation of all time took place in the city of Jerusalem in A.D. 70, when the Roman army surrounded the city and destroyed it. Now, this is what Jesus is talking about in the first part of Matthew chapter 24. In verses 1 through 14, Jesus tells the disciples that the temple is going to be destroyed, and the disciples want to know when this is taking place and what signs would lead up to or precede this great destruction. Jesus then gives them some of the indications or signs that the end of Jerusalem was near. He said that there were going to be false Christ. He said that they would hear of wars and rumors of wars. He said that there would be natural disasters. He said that people would turn against each other and betray each other. He said that the Christians would be persecuted, the disciples would face affliction. He said that the gospel would be preached in all nations, and those things did take place before the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. We have to remember that Jesus is talking in this section about something that happened in the first century, almost 2,000 years ago. All those things occurred just as Jesus said. And then he said, as the definite, specific sign to these disciples that the fall of Jerusalem was at hand, he said, when you see the abomination of desolation, when you see the Roman armies surround Jerusalem, Luke tells us in Luke 21, then he told the disciples, then at that point, you need to leave the city. You need to get out while you can. And then he again tells them why they must leave the city, why they need to get out in verse 21. It's because of the great suffering that is going to take place in that city. Now, Jesus again said these words in about AD 33, and these words came true in AD 70, a little less than 40 years after Jesus said these words. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus said again in verse 21 of Matthew 24 as he describes the greatest suffering that has ever taken place on earth or ever will take place on earth. In Matthew 24, verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So this verse tells us that the worst tribulation that the world has ever seen, the worst suffering that has ever taken place on this earth, has already happened. That happened in AD 70. Now, when you think about this being the worst tribulation that mankind has ever known or ever will know, we can't put that in terms of numbers as in the loss of human life. Jesus didn't say that more people would die in this tribulation than would die in any war or any calamity that ever had or ever would take place. So we can't measure it in terms of the number of the loss of human life. There are other calamities and there are other wars where more people died. It's the extent, the intensity of the suffering that Jesus is talking about, and not just the number of people who died. And we also can't measure this suffering or this tribulation in terms of geography. Now, for instance, the great flood that we read about in the Bible covered the whole earth. So as far as the area was concerned, the area that was affected by the calamity of the great flood was much greater than the area that was affected by the destruction of Jerusalem. But again, it's not how widespread the calamity was. It is the intensity of it. It is the nature of that suffering, and we're going to talk about that somewhat in this lesson. So let's read these words again in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Our Lord Jesus says that nothing can surpass this in terms of the horrendous suffering that took place inside of Jerusalem. Now, I've mentioned a certain historical book which really sheds light on what we're reading here. As a matter of fact, this is the most detailed history that we have about the event that Jesus is talking about. And it would be good for you to read it sometime. It's called The Wars of the Jews, or The History of the Destruction of Jerusalem. and it was written by a man named Flavius Josephus. Now, Josephus was there when it happened. He was a Jew, and he had been in the Jewish army and was fighting against the Romans, but they captured him, and eventually he became a historian and a writer, and he was forced to go there, he says, to witness what happened in the city of Jerusalem when the Romans destroyed it. And so his record, his account of the destruction of Jerusalem is more detailed than anything that we find in history. And so when you read that account of what Josephus said happened inside of the city of Jerusalem, it is a chilling account. He says that people starved to death. There were dead bodies everywhere. People resorted to cannibalism. There was burning. There was torture. There was crucifixion. There were executions with the sword. And all of that because Israel had rejected God and God was punishing this nation for its sins. God had put up with the Jewish nation for 1,500 years. God had been long-suffering with the Israelite nation for all those centuries. But when they turned their back on God and crucified the Son of God and rejected the gospel of Christ, God was through with their nation and he put an end to their city. Now, let me read to you a few things from the writings of Josephus about how great that suffering was. I'm looking at a section where he describes some of the infighting inside of Jerusalem. Now, oftentimes people talk about what the Romans did to these Jews when they circled the city and when they came in. And that's bad enough. But what Josephus tells us is that the suffering inside the city was so great that there were Jews inside of the city who longed for the Romans to come in and kill them because their misery was so terrible. And one of the sufferings that you don't hear a lot about was the fact that the Jews were turning on each other. They were fighting against each other inside the city while the Romans are on the outside, and they were slaughtering each other. Josephus, for instance, mentions three men, a certain Eleazar, a certain John, and a man named Simon. And all three of these men led factions. In other words, all three of these men led gangs or groups of people, and they fought against each other. Now listen to the insanity that Josephus describes that was taking place inside that city. You had these factions, this civil war that was happening inside of the city while the Romans were surrounding them on the outside. And Josephus says that the Jews inside had storage bin of grain. And he says that they had enough grain that they could have lived on for years. Do you know what two of those leaders of those factions did? They burned that grain up. He said they set on fire those houses that were full of corn and of all other provisions. They burned up the food supply. He said that they destroyed what the city had laid up against the siege, and by thus cutting off the nerves of their own power, almost all the corn was burned, which would have been sufficient for a siege of many years. He goes on and says, and now as the city was engaged in a war on all sides, from these treacherous crowds of wicked men, the people of the city, between them were like a great body torn in pieces. The aged men and women were in such distress by their internal calamities that they wished for the Romans, and they earnestly desired and hoped for an external war in order to deliver them from their domestic miseries. They agreed in nothing but this, to kill those that were innocent. He's talking again about these factions. He says, the noise also of those that were fighting was incessant. Now, this is talking about what the Jews were doing to each other, both by day and by night. But the lamentations of those that mourned exceeded the other, nor was there ever any occasion for them to leave off their lamentation, because their calamities came perpetually one upon another, although the deep consternation they were in prevented their outward wailing. So Josephus says for some time before the Romans ever killed any of them to any extent, the Jews were slaughtering each other. He goes on to say, nor was any regard paid to those that were still alive by their relations, nor was there any care taken of burial for those that were dead. The occasion of both, which was this, that everyone despaired of himself. For those that were not among the seditious had no great desire of anything, as expecting for certain that they should very soon be destroyed. but for the seditions themselves. They fought against each other while they trod upon the dead bodies as they lay heaped one upon another, and taking up a mad rage from those dead bodies that were under their feet, they became the fiercer thereupon. Now let me skip over a bit of his writing and read more. He said, "It is therefore impossible to go distinctly over every instance of these men's iniquity. I shall therefore speak my mind here at once briefly, that neither did any other city ever suffer such miseries, nor did any age ever breed a generation more fruitful in wickedness than this was from the beginning of the world." Now, what did Jesus say? He said, "Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Josephus goes on to say, after the Romans came in, that the Romans started killing people and they started crucifying these Jews. And you have to remember that the Romans absolutely hated the Jews, and they showed them no mercy whatsoever. He says, "The soldiers, out of the wrath and hatred they bore the Jews, nailed those they caught, one after another, and another after another, to the crosses by way of jest, just to make fun of them. When their multitude was so great that room was wanting for the crosses and crosses wanting for the bodies." Somewhat later, he describes one of the fires that broke out and the panic that ensued with the Romans chasing these Jews and killing them. He goes on and says, "As they were crowding into the temple together, many of them were trampled on one by another, while a great number fell among the ruins of the cloisters, which were still hot and smoking, and were destroyed in the same miserable way with those whom they had conquered. And when they were come near the holy house, they made as if they did not so much as hear Caesar's orders to the contrary, but they encouraged those that were before them to set it on fire. As for these seditious, they were in too great distress already to afford their assistance. They were everywhere slain and everywhere beaten. And as for a great part of the people, they were weak and without arms, and had their throats cut wherever they were caught. Now round about the altar lay dead bodies, heaped one upon another. As at the steps going up to it ran a great quantity of their blood, whither also the dead bodies that were slain above on the altar fell down." Josephus goes on to describe the scene of a woman who was boiling her own son to eat that child because the people were starving to death. He talks about Jews who swallowed silver and gold so that the Romans wouldn't get it, but the Roman soldiers took those same Jews and cut their bodies open to get that gold and silver. And there are other events that he describes that are just too explicit and too horrific in terms of how bad the torture was to describe in this lesson. So that history that Josephus left behind really sheds light on what we're reading here in Matthew 24, verse 21, where Jesus talks about this great tribulation in AD 70, and I believe that it also sheds valuable light on the plagues that we read about in the great book of Revelation. And remember, Jesus said that that great tribulation would take place in that generation, the generation in which he lived. Matthew 24, verse 34, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled."